number 301. I will sing the wonder story. 301. That's all I'll sing. Somebody say something. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the Christ you'll see. He will keep me till the river rolls his waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll see. The wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. 874. Jesus is Lord. 874.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me. How I love him. He is risen.
To God be the glory. 682.
to God
be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Number 68. Because he lives, we'll sing the first and third stanza. This will be the song after prayer. At this time, we'll go to God in prayer. Might stand for the prayer and remain standing for the song.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you now, Lord, thanking you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings that came with the day. At this time, we're mindful of our blessing that we have to gather here freely, study from your word, to hear a word, a lesson presented from your word, and truth proclaimed. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in regard to that lesson, that you help the speaker to have a ready recollection of what he has prepared. We may be able to take what is presented and apply it to our daily lives, that we may be in better service to you. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those who may not be able to be with us this evening, those who are struggling with sickness, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with those individuals, bless them and their families, and that you comfort them as only you can, and restore them back to health. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to be with those men and women who are serving here and abroad in our military. We pray, Lord, that you may keep them and bring them home safely, free from harm. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this nation that we live in. We pray, Lord, that they may look to you for guidance in every decision and every choice that they make as they lead this nation, this people. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus, who you sent to this earth out of love for all of us. He made the ultimate sacrifice on that cruel cross of Calvary, shedding his blood that we may have forgiveness of sins and a hope of eternal life in heaven with you. Amen. We pray all these things in his name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died
because he lives.
And
Number 23 will be the song of invitation. All things are ready. Number 23.
Well, it's a delight once again to be able to be with you, brethren, here. And to have your fellowship and friendship through the years is just, I cannot put it into words. Thank you so very much for the help that you've been to our Training School for Better Service program. The preachers and teachers that are still a part of that, I don't know how many we actually have now, because we have between 3,000 and 5,000 every month that come to our website that you help us to maintain and have. And the brethren at Crockett, which we had 43 present yesterday morning, and that was a good thing to do, say the least, they wanted to have us, our speeches, to be a part of it. All our lecture programs, like Ed Allen has been on, and others have been on, and they wanted to have that speaking part to be a part of that. And to make it an easy way of putting it on there and everything with an MP3 recorder and simply right on there, and by the time that I get back to the house in about 10 minutes, it'll be done, the whole service tonight. The reason for the songs being on there is the fact that there's some people down in Central America, in the Belize country. They asked me, please put more songs where you go preach on the internet. We love the songs and we love to sing the songs and learn those songs. And as a result, they made that request. These people are special to my heart because, you see, they begin to walk to that website location where they can get on internet and get to our web particular address. And that address, by the way, is available to you on that calendar in the back that's on the table there. Take a calendar with you, and on the opposite side, you'll see our address is there. And as a result, they walk from Friday morning until Saturday afternoon. They do not stop for sleep, rest. They drink a little water along the way, the sandwich they may have or someone may share with them. They are serious about getting there and serious about making the request. Have us a few more songs on the internet site. I'm going to have a few more songs for people who work like that. They start on Friday. You think about that Friday morning. Think about the fact that by daylight, you'd be walking. And you'd be going there all day. And that night. And the next day. And finally about noon, you get to where they can click in and hear that website. And the sermons that they get and the songs that they hear to sung, they love. They want to hear it. And I want them to be able to hear it. Thank you for your help in our deal, and thanks to brethren in Crockett for wanting to be a part of this in a speaking deal so that they can hear it and not just read about it, and that's a good thing. The study tonight that I mentioned to Brother Allen, when he mentioned to me several months ago of time, several, was the idea of needs. I was studying at that time some history background in my training with Brother Paul Sparks, and how he always said, preach on needs. And as a result of preaching on needs, you'll never run out of material. It'll always be fresh, always be interesting to people, always there for them to see and hear and to study with you. Preach on needs and keep on looking for the needs of brethren as well as others. And so when Brother Allen said, what kind of topic might you have in mind for this gospel meeting? I said, well, what about the needs of man who's lost and the needs of brethren who are saved from sin? What kind of needs do each one have? And that's what we're talking about tonight. What about the needs of someone who has come to this earth, been born? Hebrews 12 and verse 9 tells us, we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we should live. Talking about living spiritually with God because our spirit comes from Him. But our earthly possessions come from our fathers. We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. The idea that we are living in this world in which we live, born into families, and born into a mother and dad, perhaps who have no Bible background. Perhaps they have no church background. They have no knowledge of God and His right way. And so they rear their little children as a result of what they do not know rather than what they come to know and share with their children those important matters. And so what we're talking about tonight is a way of life that we want to follow. If we were born in that particular position, would we be without excuse before God? Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, he tells us regarding those things that are invisible, that are clearly seen by the things that are made. And tells us as we close that verse in Romans 1:11, so then they are without excuse. They do not recognize him as God. They do not salute him as the Lord. They do not recognize his truthful and right way. He talks about how many things they get into if they don't follow his right way. Back a little earlier in Romans 1 at verse 18, he begins to talk about the kind of unrighteous conduct that they'll manifest, the kind of living in lies and falsehoods, the kind of deceptions that they will live and practice in their lives. You know that these little children are probably going to grow up in that same influence because that example of their mom and dad, without the Lord's help, without prayer to Him, without being humble in His sight, trying day to day to be what God would have us to be, they are people who would be prone to lie and to cheat and to steal and to do whatever to get their ways and get their things done. And they would proclaim it to their little children, probably by an example as well as possibly by words. And thus they would not come to the Lord. But are they without excuse? Romans 1 verse 11 says they are without no excuse. There is no excuse for it. God is clearly seen by the things that are made. When we look around and we see the things that are made, we go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and we recognize that every house is built by some man. But he that built all things is God. Who built the house that we've passed by coming here tonight? On that road you saw several different houses, various architectural styles and designs. As you see these houses, you know that somebody built that. You don't think immediately a jackrabbit built that or a group of wolves got together one night and decided to build a house like that. You don't even remotely think about an animal like that being a critter that could build a house like what we see on these roads. And so it is that as we look at the things that man makes, then we look at the man himself. Brother Warren, in his debate with a renowned atheist from over in England, University of Reading in England, Anthony Flew, he drew, and Ratson as well, with his debate with him. He was an artist by design. Brother Warren was that, and people don't realize that. You study and read about the discussions he held with those who were atheists and all. But he drew a hand that was just exactly like an artist would draw a hand. And then he had a picture of a real hand, man's hand. And he asked, which one of these was designed? And of course, immediately the idea was, well, the man designed that hand and drew it accordingly. More so than the natural hand that's here. Did it not have a design equally as well and beyond what I drew? I could fashion that hand with a thumb down or a thumb up. I could find the little finger to be bigger than others. I could find myself having smaller than others. I could make a choice as an artist, but God made these things. Every house is built by some man, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3, but he that built all things is God. And so it is that we have people who come to this world not knowing about God, being taught by their parents. Isn't it wonderful to have those parents that taught us some basic things about God and things of God? They may not have been New Testament Christians, but they had a belief system in this God of heaven and Jesus, by which they taught us and instructed us not to lie and not to steal and not to be people who were ugly in their dispositions toward others. And as a result of following that way in life, we became people who, once we got into our Bible and studying the Bible, we saw the Word of God directing us. For in 2 Thessalonians 2 and at verse 14, we are called by the gospel to the obtaining of His excellent glory. Called by the gospel. So that message of the gospel, as we read along with it, calls to our hearts and calls upon us to be the people of God. And there are those who have decided that they would do that. They would take God up on that invitation. They would come to Him. Especially after they read a passage that Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Without the Lord, without God's way being followed, aren't we going to be laboring and heavy laden? And He said, "I will give you rest. Come and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have a burden. I have a request. I have responsibility to ask you to do. Doing right things and good things and godly things and being holy in life, these things are commands of the Lord. And we want to be that way. It's a burden to us at times, but it's not anything like a burden about a person who has lied and now is caught and is brought into court. A man or a woman who has murdered someone, taken their life, and as a result has to explain that. Here's a burden. And this burden is deep and heavy and loaded. And as a result, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In comparison to the burdens of sin and the wrongdoing of the world, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. So it is that person comes to recognize that and becomes an obedient person of the gospel, because they read in Acts chapter 2 and all the other chapters out of the book of Acts that have the conversion notes. They read about Jewish people in Acts chapter 2 being converted. They read about Cornelius, a Gentile man, being converted the same way in Acts chapter 10 and 11. Notice some people in Acts chapter 11 that talked about Simon Peter going over there to the Gentiles' house and teaching him the gospel. And as a result of that criticism, they called him in to explain this matter. And Peter began to explain how that this would occur, and how that he was there, and how he saw this event take place. And he said, "Who was I that I could withstand God?" It is said in Acts 11, verse 18, "They held their peace and glorified God, saying, God hath granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles." Here's the first of the Gentile converts. On down the line, here we are today. Born in America, born in this way, Gentile people, how will we know about the Lord? Well, He's clearly seen by the things that are made. Romans 1:11. Do we see Him? Do we recognize Him? Do we ask a question of mom and dad about Him? Do we find a Bible and see a little bit more about Him in His right way? I trust that we will have that kind of dependability. But if not, here's a responsibility for you and me that find that salvation in the Lord. For when we are saved from sin and become servants of Jesus Christ, maybe it's because our mom and dad taught us. Maybe it's because they opened a Bible to us. Maybe it's because we saw a track at a laundromat somewhere along the way and saw the full gospel there in that track. Maybe it's because in our modern day time we got on the internet and went to a site and listened to a gospel sermon in its fullness to be taught. And as a result, I come to obey the gospel. I come to be a saved individual from sin. Do I have any responsibility now before God? In advertising this gospel meeting this week, I was privileged to put on there regarding how the Lord not only wanted to save us from sin, but He wanted to add us to His church. Acts 2 verse 47, "The Lord add daily to the church those that were being saved." As a result of that, I invited people to take your Bible and go to that gospel meeting over there at Pine Bluff. Open that Bible up and follow along with the verses that are listed by that preacher there. And become a person who is really instructed about the identity of the church and the people of the church and the ways of salvation from sin. And as a result of that, maybe you will do something that you haven't yet done. You recognize there's something that you haven't yet done. As Cornelius did in Acts 11, he had not yet done this. He was told to send for Peter. He will tell you what you need to do. He had not yet done that, but he now came to do that because he said, "We're here before God, dear, all things commanded thee of the Lord, of God." And thus it was that when he was taught that and commanded to be baptized, he was immediately responsive to it. and as a result became a New Testament Christian. Now, what kind of responsibility does he have? The Lord added the saved to the church day by day, those that were being saved. Cornelius was added to the church. What was the situation? Teach others. Jesus taught his disciples before he left this earth in Matthew 28, beginning verse 18, that all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Here is the message that the Lord says, I want you to go forth and teach them. It was one of them that was there in that particular situation, later on, that Paul would be converted, that Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and it 2, and say the things you've heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here's the opportunity for down the stream of time, because those people were taught the gospel, they taught the next person, the next person converted, the Lord had the responsibility of telling the next person, and on down the line it went. And somebody along the way taught your mom, taught your dad, taught your family. Someone laid that track there at that laundromat. Someone invited you to study a Bible correspondence course. Somebody helped you to go a little further along with what you had studied, what you know. And you've become a Christian. You're here tonight. You're thankful for the gospel. You want to support the gospel. You want people to see your automobile out there in front. And you know there are people in this old world that's what they are really looking for. They're looking for an example like that. A young man in Batesville, I remember very well how he said this. He noted that he wasn't a member of the church, and the Church of Christ there on Eureka Street, hard to get those downtown and go anywhere else but out going by the church building. And there were plenty of cars there on Wednesday night. And he talked to some of his buddies that were riding along with him before he was converted. He said, what's going on at the Batesville Church of Christ that people are so interested in? One of them said to him, if you listen on radio, you'll hear something about the Batesville Church of Christ every morning. And so he began to listen. And along the way, he was really convicted by what he heard. And it was different than his association that he had in his religious movement. And he began to stop by and ask a question about it. One night after his baptism into Christ, he was in a Wednesday night Bible class. We're talking about how important an example is and how important advertisement is and how the little children go into a store. If you don't believe advertisement has its place, go into a store, grocery store, go down the cereal aisle and see what the little children will say about that box of cereal, that box of cereal, that one, that one. They will tell you what that influence, and you haven't talked about this Kellogg's or Posties or anything else. But you know that they've been watching television. They see that. They know that. And they know what that does for them, they think. And as a result, they'll point out what advertisement means to them. Well, adults have that same thing. And so it was that this young man said, you know, I drove down Eureka Street many a time, and I wondered, what's going on Wednesday night? He said, I never dreamed in that day and time that I'd be in this building, sitting in this class, studying the Bible with you. But my car's parked outside tonight. Here I am. And I'm ready for the Bible study. Everybody was quiet for a minute, as you are here now, in that Bible class that night. And someone said, let's pray that many others will see and come in someday. We stopped and prayed. It's important for you and me to follow what God has said in teaching others the gospel. And in the methodologies that we use, from television ministries to radio ministries to whatever opportunities we have, house to house, door to door, knocking to knocking, a track, a book, a DVD, a CD in our day and time, a teaching situation, can be a benefit. It'll take just a few minutes to stop and visit there and be there and hand that person something free of charge. Now, you that will be a surprise within itself. For people come to a door, they may have a particular invitation, but it's an invitation with a handout, a little bit of money, a little bit of change, and I'll exchange this for you. But we don't ask them for the money. We're not asking for that. We're asking for a person's time and a little thoughtfulness about what they read in the Scripture. And so you're taking a few minutes and you'll visit this place this week. And another month you'll visit another place. And another month you'll visit another place. And you'll reach out with the gospel of people. What about our responsibility to God in an unsaved condition? Are we without excuse? Romans 1:11 says no, you're not without excuse. You may not have the background that others have had. You may not have the knowledge of God that others have been given. But you have that responsibility because God is clearly seen by the things that are made. And we can see Him and we can know something about Him. And opening His book of books, we learn a lot more about Him. Now we're saved from sin. We obey the gospel. We have responsibility to teach others. But what about my example that I'm living as I go about that teaching to others? Do I have a responsibility of that? Oh, yes, I do. Listen to Paul as he told young Timothy, the preacher of the gospel, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, he says, but be thou an example of the believer. You know that word example. You've been taught that word example means tupos. It's the word for pattern. It's the word for an imprint. It's the word for something that's really special. And he says, don't let men despise your youth. Be an example of the believer. Be a tupos to the believer. As they come in touch with you, the imprint of your life, the imprint of the Lord in your life is transferred. It has an influence upon them. And he says, be an example of the believer. In word, the words that you say. Not profanities and vulgarities. Here comes a person in and we're going to be shuddering a little bit because as we drink our coffee and as we talk to one another at lunch, these words are going to spew out of that person's mouth. I know it, just for sure. Where does he go to church, Rekha? Well, he goes to church. Pine Bluff, Crockett, Batesville. How much influence is that in words we say? In conversation, be an example, he said, 1 Timothy 4:12. In a conversation, a way of your conduct in life, you're generally known as honest person, dependable person. Someone has trouble on the highway, you stop by to be of help to them. Do they want you to keep on going or do they want you to stop by because you have a reputation of being a helper? You're not fixing to take advantage of them. Because they have one problem, you don't add to their problems. As you stop there to lend help and assistance, get on the phone and call someone, call a wrecker service, call someone to pick up that vehicle, call someone to help you with that battery. Good things can be as a result of that influence. Here's your conversation, your manner of life. Are you basically an honest and dependable person? And others know that. And he says, in your charity, in your way of love, in your way of kindness, in your way of doing things, in your word, in your conversation, your manner of life, and in the charity, in your love for mankind, the love for the lost, the love for the person who doesn't know about the Lord, doesn't know about God, doesn't know about His Son, Jesus, does not know about His plan of redemption. Have a love for somebody, a love for a soul. Because of that, share a little bit before you share a lot. Don't be the kind of person, like listed in Proverbs 29, verse 1, who nags another person and causes a stiff neck so that they then fall into destruction. You know, there are some people that when they open their mouth and say what they say, others know that there's a criticism coming. There's just not good things going to be said there. There's going to be something that's a nagging person. And that's going to be resisted, Solomon said there in Proverbs 29, verse 1. I won't do that way with life. I want to be a person who helps someone in life. I have a love for them, a charity for them. He then talks about faith, how that we live in faith, be a good example in believing. When I give a contribution, I want to give it with a prayer of faith that good will be done, that this will be used in its time to help the local work and the work that's around the world. I believe that. I believe God will cause it to abound to every good work. He promised that to the Corinthians. And thus, I want to have that faith as I make that donation. I want to have that faith as I pray about troubles and difficulties that God hears. In fact, He has said, my eyes are over the righteous and my ears are subject to their prayers. I want to be that kind of person in my life, in faith. And then spirit, how that we will deal with our ego of life, how we are really people who want to rise up and do all we can do. My spirit of life is going to reach out and do all that we can do. King James has this as a word spirit there for the purpose of saying to us that we need to be that kind of person. And then he says regarding this way of life, in purity. Be an example in purity. I don't want to be a person who is known for the impure thoughts and impure mannerisms of life. Because in doing that, I'm going to find myself following a way of the world, a way that the Gentiles of Romans 1 were following, not knowing God and not knowing His right way. Without excuse in that, nevertheless, they were wicked and they were ungodly and unrighteous in their conduct. I won't want that to be my way of life. So we'll teach our young, as Paul was talking to Timothy, being an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be this kind of person in life and you will be an influence for good and godliness. As we grow older in life, do we need less of those things? Some people think that we do. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse number 11 and number 12, but he says, thou, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about wicked things in life. And we're talking about people who are a little bit older now. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love and patience and meekness. You see, there are six things here that he mentions for the person as the person is growing older. Follow after these things. Practice this way of life. Then he says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also been called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. When you and I came forward and confessed our faith in Christ Jesus, little did we perhaps realize that it was a confession that was being made until we read the writing of Paul to Timothy, to these adult folks, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Be a person who looks at the things that you said in confessing the Lord. You made a good profession. He is the Son of God, our Savior, and our Lord. Now then, we think about where we are in this world. Are we a person that has not yet obeyed that gospel of Jesus Christ, become saved from our sins? In Acts chapter 2, these people were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's why I teach that. It's the message to Cornelius, the Gentile too, in Acts chapter 10. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? These people obeyed the gospel. And as a result, the critics of the Gentile world were held at bay. The leaders of the church back there at Antioch found themselves in Acts 11:18, glorifying God, saying He has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. Now you can search all the night long and through the rest of your life in Acts chapter 10, and you won't read whether Cornelius repented and was baptized, like on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. But what did he do when he turned himself away from the patriarch system under which he was living, an altar type of worship, to follow the Christ Jesus and obey him? He repented. He turned unto life. That's what you can do tonight. And once you have become saved from sin, you can say, well, what now is my responsibility? It looks like a lot to me. Well, the Lord put it on us, so he didn't put too much on us. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. You go and teach others. I'll be with you. And as he is with us and helping us from day to day, here we are tonight. A privilege to think about the needs of a person who is lost in sin, and our needs to be encouragement for those who are saved from sin. I remember telling you before a story, and I want to close this with this particular account tonight of one who preached in this area, leastwise for years gone by, who passed away a few years ago over at Boonville, J.A. Thornton. Brother J.A. Thornton said that when he began preaching as a young man, he went to a congregation north of where he lived there at Tipplersville, and he preached a sermon that no one could ever say was a real sermon. He said the middle was at the end was at the beginning was in the middle. It was just a mismatch of all kind of words and mannerisms. And he said, I left that pulpit that day just thoroughly disgusted at myself for how I had preached that supposedly called a sermon. But he said that as they were coming out to the building and shaking his hand and saying the natural things of good sermon, good man, good to see you today. Good to have you here preaching for us today. This little old lady who was really very short was hanging back, and she came out last. She reached up and she grabbed him by his neck and pulled him over to where she was. And she whispered in his ear something that made the difference in the rest of his life. He was 70 years of age when he told this story, I heard. He was just a young teenage man at that time. She said, Brother Thornton, he called him Brother Gene in those days. J.A. Thornton, Gene Thornton. She said, Brother Gene, I got something really good out of that sermon you delivered today. I want you to know, I got something really good. With that, she led his head back up, and she walked on out the door, and Brother Thornton would quickly tell an audience when he told that story. Until this good day, I don't know what in the world she got that was good out of that sermon. I don't know a thing that she would remember for good. But I know what she gave me, he says. And then he had preached the sermon on this topic. She gave me encouragement to try again. How many of us tonight, let me ask you, how many of you are busy with giving words of encouragement to someone? A little child that's growing and developing. A teenager who's going through a struggle trying to find self. A man who's lost his wife in death, or a woman who's lost her husband in death. What happens? There's a need for just a word of encouragement. If the Lord at the judgment day looks at our record and says of you that were baptized into Christ back yonder in 1947, 1957, 1960, 1975, 1980, 2001, I see your way of life had everything in it that I had so instructed Paul to write to Timothy about the young men and about the older men too. Oh man, flee these things and follow after. But I don't see a person that you ever gave a word of encouragement to on my record book here. Won't it be a shame for some of the best people that I know and have enjoyed through the years to be criticized of God? No word of encouragement came from your heart to someone else. Think about that. Pray about that tonight. Pray about that as you rise up in the morning and awaken to a new day, an opportunity to encourage someone today. They're out there, and what a blessing we can be with a simple word of encouragement. Brother Thornton was a wonderful preacher, a wonderful man. He traveled around the world. He was preaching and teaching. At the same time, he did it, he said, because she gave him a word of encouragement as she left this morning. The song of invitation and encouragement is provided tonight. When you think about this, Lord, if you need to come and confess your faith in Him and be baptized in Christ, would you do that? If you've done that in days gone by and not lived up to it, lived in such a way that it's been rather vulgar, rather wrongdoing in life, and others are going to someday know about it, and they're not going to be encouraged for good and godliness by that example, won't you come back and have it to be known in your particular Bible, in your particular friendship and family? That person came forward that night and said, I don't want to be known as a person who lived that way any longer in my life. You can do that now as we stand together and we sing the word of encouragement.
All things are ready, come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Eat and drink, eating will be done, and thou shalt be richly fed.
Website and hear this lesson again, but also tell others about it, and get that calendar to back there and you'll see the website. But more than that, when you're traveling toward Memphis, you're going northwest Mississippi, we're just 7 miles off Interstate 55, toward the Tunica side. Now, if you put it in your GPS, I'm going to Crockett, it'll take you over to the other side, to Luxahoma and Thyatira, because there's a Crockett Road over that way. That was old days. But if you would check in and come to the left and come under the interstate and go out Highway 4 that direction toward the Tunica side, Strayhorn, and before you get to Strayhorn, you'll have Crockett. Come and visit us. We're 9:30, 10:30, and 6 on Sundays. And you can enjoy a good singing time and a good service time with them there. We'd love to have you to come. And I love for people on the internet to hear where we're located too, because they may come to America someday, and they may come to Memphis to see Elvis projects, and they may just drive 25 miles down further and get to Crockett. I hope that's the day we've got. The brethren will be thrilled and encouraged to see them face to face. People who walked a day and a half to get to a website to hear. What a blessing. God bless y'all. Enjoy being here tonight.
Are there any announcements that need to be made? We enjoyed the lesson. Good lesson.
Appreciate it.
Let's open our phone books to 888. We sing all three stanzas.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song and in praise all day long. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank you, Lord. For loving me, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Y'all bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, it has been an honor and privilege to be able to assemble here with these, our brothers and sisters, this part of your family here at Pinewood. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have had this opportunity to hear your words so richly proclaimed to us this evening. And that we have had these songs led to us in such a fine way. We pray, Lord, that through this hearing your word and singing these songs, and we ask your Lord your continued blessing upon this congregation, that our people here at Fine Bluff, that their light may continue to shine in this community.
Amen.
We ask that you go with us now as we prepare to depart, that you help us to arrive safely to our destination. Most of all, help us to arrive back at the next appointed time that we can assemble together and worship you in spirit and in truth. For all these blessings and favors, we ask in your precious name, or your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.